Today's Shiur Masechta Yuma Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Tanan Hosam. The Torah Akdosha tells us that one has to give Trumas Maestris. The procedure and the order is that every year Truma Gedoyla has to be given. The Torah doesn't give us an exact shear, an exact amount of how much Truma Gedoyla has to be given. Chazal, however, said that a generous person would give a 40th, a average person would give a 50th, and a stingy person would give a 60th. Then every year, Maaser Rishon has to be given. The Maaser Rishon is given to the Levi, and from the Maaser Rishon that the Levi receives, he has to give Trumas Maaser to the Kohen. Somebody who eats Tevel from which Trumas Maaser or Truma was not given is Chayiv Misa. Then, in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maaser Sheni is taken. The halacha of Maaser Sheni is that it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim or could be redeemed, and the money can be taken to Yerushalayim to be used to purchase food. That is the halacha. And then in the third and the sixth year of the cycle, we give Maaseroni, which are given to poor people. Chazal saw that people were not being properly careful, that Maratzah were not being properly careful in giving the Trumas and Maaseris. Chazal saw that they were giving Truma Gedoyla properly. For two reasons, they were not concerned that they were not taking Truma properly. One is because, as we said, the punishment for eating Tevel, from which Truma has not been removed, is a very serious punishment. It's a Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So even though they were Maratzim, they were, of course, careful not to do such a serious Aveira. The other reason is also, as we said, since Midaraisa Chita Achas B'teres HaSakri, taking off even just one kernel, Midaraisa, is adequate. So the Maratzim said, we'll do the minimum and we will solve the problem. So the Truma Gedoyla, they weren't concerned. The Chazal were not concerned that the Amaratzim were not doing properly. What they were concerned about were other Trumas and Maaseris. However, as we said, the Maaser Rishon is given to the Levi. The Maaser Ani is given to the Ani, to the poor person, to the poor people. And there's a rule throughout Shasta that, of course, we know. If you have a claim that you owe, that I owe you something, you have to be able to prove that I owe it. And if you cannot make that proof, I don't have to pay it. So if the Levi approaches the Amoritz, or the Levi approaches the person who bought produce from the Amoritz and says, well, my Sirishin wasn't removed, this person could say, Hamoitz Mechavreiroi Olav Araya, prove that it wasn't taken. And therefore, my Sirishin did not have to be given. There is a Machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that they had to go through the person who bought produce from Amoritz does have to go through the motions of taking off Maaser Rishon, but he doesn't have to give it to the Levi. And the same thing with the Maaser Ani. The poor person approaches the individual who bought produce from the Amoritz and says, Maaser Ani wasn't removed. He can respond by saying, Hamoitzi Mechaveiro, Olav Araya, bring me proof that that is indeed the case. And since, of course, that is impossible, the halach is that you don't have to give it to the Ani. Again, the same question, do you have to go through the Afrosha, or you don't even have to go through the Afrosha process? However, the Trumas Maaser, that's where we maybe have a concern. Again, many Rishonim say we don't, because it's like Truma. But here it's different, because although it's like Truma, maybe the Amaratzim are concerned. On the other hand, there's a very specific amount that has to be taken, 10%. And the other thing that they were concerned about Maaser Sheni, as we said, the Maaser Sheni has to be taken to Yerushalayim, and there was a concern that if you bought produce from Amoritz, he did not remove the Maaser Sheni, and therefore that produce is called Dor Mai. It's an abbreviation, Dor Mai. We don't really know what is the status of this food, And we had, Chazal said that when you buy that produce from the Amoritz, you have to take off these things again. Our Gemara, the end of our previous year, we were speaking about the word Pahedrin. And therefore, in today's year, we begin with that word again. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah Masechta Demai, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet teaches us, somebody who buys, as we just learned, produce from Am Haaretz, who's not careful about taking off Truma and Maaser properly, has to take off his own. The Halacha, says the Mishnah, however, is Hanachtoimim, people who are professional bakers that buy produce from Am Haaretz to make bread out of them, Loi Chayivim Oisim Chacham El Hafrish, Chazal did not make them take off the Maaser Sheni and take it up to Yerushalayim, even though, just as we just explained, that normally is the case when you buy produce from Am Haaretz. Ella, the thing that they have to remove is the Maaser Sheni that normally has to be removed. Here, Chazal were lenient, but Chazal said that Trumas Maaser has to be removed because, as we just explained, it's much, we have to be concerned by Trumas Maaser. And the same thing is Challah, that you have to take off Challah, because Challah is only removed after the dough, is only obligated after the dough is made. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Truma Gedoyla, we understand why they weren't obligated to take off Truma Gedoyla. Not, we don't need to be concerned that Truma wasn't removed. The Tanya, because as the Bryce explains, Lefish Sholach, Yochanan Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol sent emissaries b'chol gvul Yisrael throughout Eretz Yisrael. V'ra she'ei mafrishim el truma gedola bevad. He saw that the Amoratzim were not careful only with truma gedola. But however, with truma gedola, as we gave the explanation at the beginning of our shir, they were careful, and therefore, when you bought produce from the Amoritz, you need not be concerned that the truma gedola was not removed. Furthermore, Mais Rishon and Mais Oni Nami Loi, we don't have to worry about Mais Rishon and Mais Oni, for as we explained, we don't have to give it to the Levi unless the Levi who receives the Mais Rishon or the Oni who receives the Mais Oni could definitively prove that it wasn't removed, because otherwise we have the rule of Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olav Harayim. But the question is, Ella Mais Sheni, why are we being lenient? Then when the bakers buy produce from the Oni, that we don't have to take off Maaser Sheni, Nifreshu v'nisku v'nechlu, we should be obligated to take off Maaser Sheni and take it to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Because why are we not concerned? This produce was bought from Amoratzim. And as we said, the Amoratzim were not careful in removing Maaser Sheni, answers the Gemara. Amu'ula, metayel shepahedrin halolu. And this is where we have the word Pahedrin. Because these people who worked for the government would constantly make new rules, and they would constantly have new Pahedrin appointed. And every time they had new Pahedrin appointed, they would come up with new decrees. And one of the decrees that they would typically do was they would say, they would force the bakers to lower the price of bread. And therefore, the bakers were not really able to afford to take off Maaser Sheni. And therefore, like Rechu Rabbanan, Chazal were lenient, and they did not require them to take off Maaser Sheni. Says the Gemara, so here we add the word Pahedrin. What is the definition of Pahedrin? Persi. These were the appointed people of the government that took advantage of the position to make the people have to do whatever they want. And this is one of the things that they would typically do. There's a question in the Rishonim. So we clearly see that the bakers did not have to take off Maaser Sheni. But the question is, when somebody bought bread from the baker, did they have to take off Maaser Sheni, knowing that the baker did not take off the mai? Some Rishonim say, yes, there is a real concern of the mai. They were only lenient vis-a-vis the bakers, but they weren't lenient vis-a-vis the people who ultimately bought the bread. There are other Rishonim who ever suggest that they were, the Chazal waived the right, the requirement of the Mai. And how could they waive that requirement? Because really, Roiv Amaratzim Asrim Hain. Most Amaratzim did take off Trumas and Maisus properly. Just Chazal made a Gzeira, we learned Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a Gzeira about the Mai. But they could rely on the Roiv where they wanted to. There's a question, who was in the category of Panhedrin? The Panhedrin, most are explained that these are people that had, the Rosh explains this way, that they had public bakeries. And because they had public bakeries, and these government officials would walk into the bakeries on a normal basis to see what price was being charged for the bread. But if somebody is not selling bread publicly, there the halacha is that he doesn't have the halacha of a nachtoimim, because nobody's really watching his price so carefully. Given the question that was saying that when the Gemara says the nachtoimim are potter from Maaseh Sheni, we're saying it's only that they're potter, but the people who buy it from them are not potter. So I saw that the Bar Tanura explains, so if the baker is selling bread to the Amoritz, and he needs to be concerned that the Amoritz is not going to take off the Maaseh Sheni, the Mai that he's supposed to, this leniency that our Gemara suggests, that the bakers don't have to take off the Mai Maaseh Sheni, only applies when these Nachtoimim are selling bread to Chaverim, when they're selling bread to people who they know will do what's supposed to be done. But if they're selling bread to people who they need to be concerned will not do what's supposed to be done, so then we can't sell them the bread that way because there's a concern, there's an issue of the Mai. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana Amar B'yochanan, Mai Diksiv, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem Toysuf Yomim, Ushnois Rishoyim Tikotzarno. Explains the Gemara, Yiras Hashem Toysuf Yomim, Zeb Migdash Rishon. It refers to the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Shabbat, Arba Meis, Ves Hashanim. The Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. And during those 410 years, there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim. So I saw that the Iyun Yaakov explains, we need to look in this Pasuk. When the Pasuk speaks about the Yiras Hashem, it uses the words Yomim, Loshim Rabim. But when it speaks about the Rishnois Rishoyim Tikotzarna, it doesn't say it B'loshin Rabim. So he explains, as we're saying now, Yiras Hashem Toysuf Yomim refers to Tzadikim. Tzadikim, not only are they Zoycha Tarichas Yomim, to long life, but they're Zoycha to long life in this world and in Olam Haba. So that's why the Pasuk uses the word Shonim to refer to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. However, Rishoyim, in Olam Hazeh, as the Gemara just is about to explain, they don't have Arichas Yomim. But even though they don't have Arichas Yomim in Olam Hazeh, as the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Amin Aleph teaches us, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Olam Haba. Everybody ultimately will have a share in Olam Haba. Because everybody will ultimately have a share in Olam Haba, it's only Shanois. In this world, they don't have Arichas Yomim, but they will have Arichas Yomim in the next world. So I saw that the Bava Rebbe explains that the Gemara here now is teaching us that in Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Kohanim Gedolim was Zoichet to Arichas Yomim, not in Beis HaMikdash Sheni, because in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Kohanim Gedolim were great Tzadikim. And because they were great Tzadikim, when they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippurim, they were able to withstand the incredible amount of Kedusha that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But given these people were so great, they were able to withstand that high level of Kedusha. However, during Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the people were not on that Madrega. And because they were not on that Madrega, they couldn't, as they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, they weren't able to withstand that incredible level of Kedusha, and that's why they did not survive. Rishnois Rishoyim Tikotzarno, explains the Gemara, refers to Mikdash Sheni. Sha'amad, that the Beis Hamikdash Sheni stood for 420 years. And we find, says the Gemara, v'shim sheba yosim shloish meis kahanim, that there were 300 kahanim gedolim served during those 420 years. Now says the Gemara, tseimahem, we have to further analyze that abayim shana shimish shimshin atzadik. Shimshin atzadik was the kohen for 40 years, kohen gadol. Ushmainim shishimish yochin kohen gadol, and yochin and kohen gadol was kohen gadol for 80 years. Eser shishimish yishmael ben pabi. Yishmael ben pabi was kohen gadol for 10 years. V'amalei achas achshonim. Shishimis Rablaz Becharsim, and also 11 years that Rablaz Becharsim was the Kohen Gadol. So we take out these years, we're going to be left with very few years, and we have a total of 300 Kahanim. So if you make the calculation, says the Gemara, Mikam ve'elot tzeiv chashoiv, kolecha ve'echa lehotzi shenasoi, the Kahanim Gedolim did not survive more than 1 year. So says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa, and the Medrash explains, how did he get this name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa? And the Medrash says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa was actually a ger. And what happened was, there was once a Jew who owned an axe, which he sold to a non-Jew. And the non-Jew was working with this axe. And it came Shabbos, and the non-Jew took out the axe to work. The axe refused to work. Just couldn't get him to work. So he goes back to the Jew who sold him the axe, and says, there's something wrong with the animal you sold me. It refuses to work. And the Jew went and whispered into the ears of the axe and said, you're not working on Shabbos because you know that you're not supposed to work on Shabbos. So the Jew said to the axe, this that you may not work on Shabbos is only as long as you are owned by a Jew. You're no longer owned by a Jew, and now you may work on Shabbos. And the axe began to work. This non-Jew, however, was concerned that the Jew, when he had whispered into the ear of the axe, had done some sort of kishif, had done some sort of sorcery. What's he saying to the axe? So in order to avoid that problem, the Jew told this non-Jew exactly what he had said to the axe. This non-Jew was incredibly impressed. He said, here we have an animal without any real intelligence, understood what this Jew explained to him. When you're owned by a Jew, you may not work on Shabbos. When you're not owned by a Jew, you may work on Shabbos. He says, I'm a human being that has certainly a higher level of intelligence. I certainly should be recognizing who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And he immediately converted. And he was called Om Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa. He was always, his geiris went back to Tarsa, which is an axe. That's what caused him to convert. Memneima Chorva Shila, why was Mishkan Shila destroyed? There were two problems, says the Gemara, in that play in Mishkan Shila, Gilo Arias of Bazarin Kotchim. And in order to understand the Gemara, we need to give the history of what the Mishkan looked like in the years that Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. For the first 14 years that Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael together with Yeshua, the 7 years that it took them to capture the land, and the 7 years that they divided up Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Afterwards, they brought the Mishkan to, was in Gilgal. Afterwards, they brought the Mishkan to Shiloh. They built a more permanent structure. The walls were made out of stone. The roof was not made out of stone. And it stood there for 369 years. As we're learning now, when the Bnei Eli, who we're going to speak about in a moment, did the Avera, that's when it got destroyed. And it was brought to Noiv. And it was there until Shmuel passed away. Then it was brought to Givon. The amount of time that the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon together was 57 years. And afterwards, they had the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara that the reason the Mishkan Shiloh, which we just learned, stood so many years and then was destroyed, was because two Averis. Gilui Arayis, the first Averis was Gilui Arayis. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ve'eli Zokim. Eli was an elderly person, Moed, V'shamas Kol Shiasa Bona V'chol Yisrael. He heard what the way his children acted, they had relations with the women who brought karbonis, Pesach Oel Moed. So the reason the Pasuk has to mention that Eli was old, I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that Eli actually wasn't really that old, but he got to be act like he was very old because the way his children behaved. Another explanation that the Radak suggests is that Eli was old, and because Eli was old, he was no longer active, and he gave over the day-to-day operation to his children, and they didn't act, his appropriately. And a third pshat that the Metzudas Dovid suggests that this is a question: if Eli's children weren't acting the way they were supposed to act, why didn't Eli say anything to them? And because of that, the pasuk says because he was already old and he wasn't able to. Says the Gemara. Whoever wants to suggest that the Bnei Eli actually did an Aveira in El Atoya is making a mistake. However, because they delayed in bringing the kabbonis that a woman has to bring, and therefore, as we'll explain, the halacha is, the Torah teaches us that if a woman has a baby after 40 days by a boy, after 80 days by a girl, she has to bring kabbonis. If she, Baruch Hashem, could afford, she brings an animal and a bird. If she can't afford, she brings two birds. And until those kabbonis are brought, they can't eat kachim. But as the Meshech Chacham explains, the women were careful not to go home, they didn't have relations with the husband until the kabbonis were brought. And the Bnei Eli, or another pshat is, because as we're going to learn, they were concerned that normally, as we learned in Masechet Shkolim, if a woman brings the two birds for a carbon, she can be confident that the day she brought them, they were offered, and at night she could go home and eat kachim, and everything is fine. But the women knew how the Bnei Eli behaved, and they knew that these Bnei Eli are actually not going to necessarily bring the karbonis that day that it's supposed to bring. And therefore, they remained in Yerushalayim until they could be certain that those karbonis were brought. But because they remained in Yerushalayim until they were certain the karbonis were brought, a third pshat that I saw is that l'chatchila, one should stand there when their karbon is being offered. And these women wanted to be there and see their karbonis being offered. But because the Bnei Eli did not bring them in a timely fashion, it prevented them from going home and being able to have relations with their husbands. So even though the Bnei Eli did not actually, chas v'sholem, have relations with these women, but because of what they did, as we just explained, they didn't go home to be able to have relations with their husband, it's considered it's considered as if they had relations. And that's why the Pasuk says that that's what they did. B'zayin kachim. And why did the Bnei Eli not rush? So the Mefarshim explained. Because when you bring two birds, one is an oila. An oila soif is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Even the chatas soif, which only the blood is sprinkled on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, still, there's not, and the bird is given to the Kayin, there's not that much meat to eat on the bird. The Bnei Eli much prefer to bring animals where there's a lot of delicious meat available. And that's why they kept on pushing off bringing the birds, and that's why it's considered, like we just explained, as if they had relations with those women. What is the Aveira of Bezoyin Kachim? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Gam Batirim Yaktirim Asachelev, before they finish offering the part on the Mizbeach of the carbon that's supposed to be brought, Ovar Nar, a Kohen, Vamalish HaZaveach, the assistants would come to the person who was bringing the carbon and would say, Tuna Basel Slice L'Kohen, give the Kohen his meat that he can roast it and eat it. V'lo Yimkel, L'Chabasel Mishal Chai, we want our meat. And the person who was bringing the carbon would say, I'm not trying to withhold the meat from you, just bring it first. No, give me, the Kohanim would say, give us our meat immediately now. And if you won't give it to us nicely, we'll take it by force. The Tehi, says the Gemara, Chatas Anarim Gedolim Oides Pnei Hashem. This was a very big sin in the eyes of Hashem. Kinatzo Anoshim Mechas Hashem. They were abusing. Kachim should be brought with tremendous derecherets. Kachim should be brought in the proper order, and that's why it's considered they did the Averia of Bezoyin Kachim. Says the Gemara, Mikdash Rishon Bnei Macharav. Why was the first place of Mikdash destroyed? Bnei Shlosh Dvarim Shahayibah. There were three Averis. Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, V'Shfichas Damim. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was destroyed. So the Gemara, in Masechta Nedarim, the Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph asks, why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And the Gemara goes through, Davos HaShaul Neviim, and they ask different people to help understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Until the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Al-Ozvu Estarasi, and the Gemara explains, Al-Shloi Baruch Hu B'Tayra Tchila. They didn't say Birchas HaTayra, which all the Rishonim explain, that even though they were learning Torah, the fact that they didn't make Birchas HaTayra showed that they didn't have the proper appreciation for learning Torah. So now the question is, Al-Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was destroyed because they did the three biggest Averis, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. So what's pshat when the Gemara Masechta Nedarim says it was because of they didn't make the Birchas HaTorah first? So the Shevet Sofer explains, they wanted to understand how did such a great nation like Klal Yisrael come to such a situation that they were doing such terrible averis? And the answer is, it started somewhere. After that, the Gemara in the Masechta Nedarim explains, where did it start? It started Ashlei Baruch HaTorah Tchila. Rabbi Aaron Kotler has a different explanation. He says, as long as Klal Yisrael is committed to learning Torah, even though they're doing terrible averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But when they come to the terrible situation where they don't learn Torah anymore, then because they're doing averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Avodah Zarah. How do we see that they worshipped the Avodah Zarah, the Ksiv? Kikotzer Hamatzah Mistareya. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? The Pasuk in Yeshaya. My Kotzer Hamatzah Mistareya. Amar Rabbi Yonason, Kotzer Matzah Zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on them punishment. Mistara Lov Shneim Reim Kechad. Because they equated the way they treated the HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the way they treated their Avodah Zarah. Such a terrible sin caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, that Peches on the base says that the Ephod was Mechaper on the Avera Avodah Zarah. So the question is, even if they were indeed worshipping Avodah Zarah, but why the Kohen Gadol, who was wearing the Ephod, why didn't that protect them against the Avera Avodah Zarah? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita explains that the Eifer was only able to protect them against Machsheves Avodah Zarah, if they had a Machsheva of Avodah Zarah. But it didn't protect them against somebody who actually worships Avodah Zarah. They didn't just think about Avodah Zarah, but only if they actually worshipped it. Another teretz that I saw is that the Eifer has the ability to protect against Avodah Zarah is if the person who worshipped Avodah Zarah does tshuva. But to rely just on the Ephod, a person will worship Avodah Zarah and say, well, I have the Ephod and the Ephod will protect me. Of course, the Ephod won't protect the person who doesn't do tshuva. The Gemara continues explaining that pasuk. V'maseicha tzorah kiskanes, Amr Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, k'mata Rav Yonason laikra, when Rav Yonason would learn this pasuk, bachi, he would cry. He would say, Amr, mandik sibe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who it says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say it every day in the Shira, koines kaneid me'ayoyim, he's able to bring the entire world's water to one place. He's able to change the course of nature, as we saw by Kriyas Yamtsev. Nas lo masecha d'avodah zarah, which is meaningless, became Sarah became his equal. Kaviyachal chas v'shalom. Gilui Arayos, what's Gilui Arayos? The Ksiv, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'yom Hashem, Yanki Govu b'noi Tzion. The women of Tzion acted arrogantly. V'telechna tu is goyren u'mashayach kris anayim hoylich v'tofav telechna u'barag leyem tachasna. And the Gemara explains the pasukim. Yanki gova b'nai tzion shoy mahalchas arucha v'tzad k'tzara. A tall woman would walk next to a shorter woman to make her more attractive, more noticeable. V'telechna tu is goyren shoy mahalchas became as a gufa. They would walk very erect. Again, to in an arrogant way to cause people to give them attention. They would put on a lot of makeup on their eyes. They would walk with very small steps. And again, all of this was to cause people to pay attention to them. They would bring different types of perfume and put them in their shoes. And when they would want to come next to young men who they would want to entice, they would kick on the earth, and the perfume would spray onto these men, and would cause the Yetzirah to become activated, like the venom which is in a snake. And that caused terrible immorality. Shvichas damim. How do we know there was shvichas damim? The ksiv, the gam dav nochi, shofach menashe habi me'oid. Menashe killed innocent people. At shemile es Yerushalayim pe'lepeh. Until Yerushalayim was completely full with blood from all these people that were killed. Says the Gemara, Ava Migdashani. When we speak about the Beis Migdashani, Shoyoyskim Tarev Mitzvahs Gemil Sachsadim, they were learning and doing mitzvahs and doing Gemil and Chesed. So now the question is, Menei Machar, why was it destroyed? Says the Gemara, Neshoyoyskim Sinas Chinim. People hated each other for no good reason. And tells us the Gemara Lalamdecha. From here we learn Sheskula Sinas Chinam, that the sin of a Sinas Chinam is worse. Keneged Shalosh Averus Avodah Zarah Gilei Ra'as V'Shvach Yistamim. The terrible Averus Sinas Chinam is worse than anything else. So the Gemara Masechta B'Metzias says that the Laman of Beis says that the reason there was a Chumen Beis Sheni because they were very strict with each other when it came to monetary matters. And they weren't able to be kind and they weren't able to be nice to each other when it came to monetary matters. So how do we see, Agamar says it was because of Sinas Chinam. So Taisha says it was actually a combination of both Averis. The Pnei Yeshua says that if you live in a world of Sinas Chinam, the result of living in a world of Sinas Chinam is going to be that people are not going to be nice to each other in monetary affairs. So why is Sinas Chinam considered such a terrible Avera? Our Gemara just said it's equal to the Gimel Averas Chamuris. So the Sefer Yaros Dvash and the Sefer Cheshev Sofer really take the same approach. The approach is that when we speak about people living together, what we're supposed to be concerned most about other people is about their status in Ruchnius, where they stand in Avodas Hashem. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Beis, teaches us, L'chav Yushlaim, Yushlaim was destroyed, L'pnei Shleichichu Zeh. They didn't give Musa, one did not tell the other person when they did the wrong thing. So again, the question is, our Gemara just says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And there the Gemara is suggesting that the reason was destroyed because that one person did not give the other Musar. So the Cheshev Sofer explains it's really one and the same. If you love someone else, then you will be concerned that that person should do what he's supposed to do and not do what he's not supposed to do. But if you don't really care about that person, so then you won't care what he's doing. The Gemara is saying, because there was Sinas Chinam between each other, that's why when they saw somebody else doing something wrong, it didn't bother them to say something. And therefore, the two Gemaras go together. Another explanation in this Gemara is what I saw from the Sefer Arvei Nachlil. A person who is arrogant, when he looks at another person, and even if he thinks to himself, everything that I do is great, anything I do that's good is great, and even if I do something which is not good. It's insignificant. And he looks at the other person just the opposite. He looks at the other person, the whatever good that other person does, he discounts. He says it's not that important. And whatever bad that person does, he thinks is terrible. And that's called sinas chinam. That one person didn't look at the other person. He only thought that I'm great and the other person is not. And that caused the churban habayis. And maybe it's a continuation of the pshatim that we just suggested. When you look at that other person, you say he's hopeless, he's helpless, then you're not going to care about him. And that all emanates from sinas chinam. The Likutei Torah explains that what does sinas chinam mean? That a person, why is it called sinas chinam? He says, what happened was that people always thought that not only did they hate their other people, but they thought, I hate that person because that person shouldn't be loved. He's no good. And that's called sinas chinam. If you think about the next person in that way, so then you're going to hate the person for the wrong reason, for chinam, for nothing. On the other hand, if you look at that person as a person who is great, then you're going to try to help that person and you won't come to sinas chinam. Michtam Eliyahu, in explaining this Gemara, says, what does our Gemara mean? He says that they were doing oiskim b'tayra b'mitzvah gemilas chasadim, but they had sinas chinam, and that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Explains the Michtam Eliyahu, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, says, it's more important to me, it's more worthwhile for me to cause sinas chinam between Jews. I'll let them learn, I'll let them daven, and I'll let them do chesed. But if I can accomplish that they should have sinas chinam, then I will have accomplished what I want to accomplish. Says the Gemara, Shem Hayu. The Gemara says, regarding what Rabbi Yochanan and Tursoi said, they were terrible Rishonim. Elish, Shetolot B'tchayim B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. They relied that Kadosh Baruch Hu will not punish them. Asin L'Migdash Rishon, that is in the base of Migdash Rishon. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Amicha. Roshah B'Shoichad Yishpoitu. The people who ran the country took bribery. The Kainer B'Mchor Yoiru, the Kohanim who was supposed to teach Torah, the Kohanim who was supposed to make themselves available to teach Torah, if we said we won't teach Torah until we won't be paid handsomely, or Nevei Bekes of Yiksaimu, and the Nevi'im refused to give over the Nevuah unless they were paid. However, Hashem Yishanu Leim Aloy Hashem Bekabenu LeTava LeIra. Lefikach says the Gemara, Hevel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shalosh Gzeiros. Hakadosh Baruch Hu brought against them three terrible decrees. Keneged Shalosh Averus Shebiyodam Shneima. The pasuk says, "Leklayim beglalchem tziim sodet techarish. Tziim will be plowed like a field. Vishlaim iin tia. Yushlaim will be completely destroyed. V'charabayis lebo masyor. And the harabayis will be like a forest." Umegdash Rishon asked the Gemara, "Lehavabay sinas chinam?" Asked the Gemara, here we're saying that sinas chinam is such a terrible avera. And asked the Gemara, that didn't exist by Beis Hamikdash Rishon. V'ksiv megure el cherev hayu es amil chen tzvoik al yerech. Vomer Belaza El Bnei Adam, it refers to people who live together. Shaychum v'shayusim zeh, and they eat and drink together. And then v'doikum zeh b'charavish b'lashonim, and then they're ready to kill each other by speaking badly about each other. Says the Gemara, ahi b'nesi Yisrael hava. That sin of acting that way one to the other was only by the leadership. The pasuk says, Zorak v'hilo ben Adam, kach hoysu be'ami. Tanya, and the Bryce explains that pasuk, Zol v'hila b'nei Adam, yochel l'kol, the people acted that way, one to the other, everyone, tamaloy mehi b'chol nasi Yisrael, only by the leadership did they have that problem, not by everyone else. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar d'Amar Tavayu, Rishonim, the people who lived in Beis HaMikdash Rishon, she nizgala avoinam, they didn't hide their aveira, nizgala kitzam. So there was an end to the golos. Klai Yisrael was in Golos for 70 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, but then they went out of Golos. Achroinim Shloin is Gala Avoinim, but the later generations that didn't do the Averis publicly, Lenizgala Kitzam. So the way most Rishonim explained the Gemara, the Torah differentiates between a ganav and a gazlan, between somebody who steals surreptitiously versus somebody who steals publicly. Somebody who steals publicly, terrible thing, but it shows that he doesn't care. Terrible. But somebody who steals privately, he's showing that he's scared of people and he's not scared of Hashem. When somebody does an Aveira publicly, it's terrible when he does the Aveira. But he's not showing that he doesn't have any regard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody, whoever does an Aveira quietly, seems to be saying, I'm worried about my people and I'm not worried about Hashem. And that's why his Aveira is much worse. So the Sefer Meshech Chochma says, the Pasuk says, Im yiyu chateichechem kishonim kishel yabinu, im yadimu katoilo katsema yiyu. He says, we could have red wool. But there are two types of red wool, explains the Meshech Chochma. There's red wool that's red because it was dyed red. That's external. That's an external color. And then you could have red wool because that's the natural color of the wool. He says the Averis in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon were external. They didn't really affect who the people were. And therefore the Pasuk says regarding such people, Im yiyu chateichem kishonim, it's like wool that was dyed red. The Aveira did not permeate the people. And therefore, kishel yalbinu, there was an opportunity for them to do tshuva. As we learned, after 70 years, the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. But in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni was yadimu. They were inherently red. The people themselves were acting. They were inherently bad people. Then there's no tshuva. Ketzemiyu, it remained red, and the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt. It says the Gemara, Amalei Rish Lakish, but Rish Lakish says, Adrabba. I would say the opposite. Achroina Adifa. The later generations were better than the early generations. The Afagav, the Ikash Shibin Malchus, because in the later generations, even when they were able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they were still under control of the government. Ka'aski B'Torah. They still learned Torah. Amma Leis, Rabbi Yochanan said that you're incorrect. The Bir Techich, the Beis HaMikdash, is the best raya. Shechazur L'Shoinim, the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt after the Churban Bayis Rishon, but after the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, it was not rebuilt. So it's a proof that the earlier generations were better than the later generations. Shalo es Rabbi Elazar, Rishonim Gedolim, Achronim Gedolim. So they asked Rabbi Elazar this question: who are greater, the earlier generations or the later generations? Omlem Tnuay Nechem Bebira. He said, look at the Beis HaMikdash, that it came back for the earlier generations and it did not come back for the later generations. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Omlem and Dechem Bebira. We should look at the Beis HaMikdash. And the fact that we see that the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt is a proof that we're now where we should be. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish have a sock by Yardana. Rish Lakish was swimming in the Yardane. Also Rabbi Babachana, Yov Le Yoda. Rabbi Babachana stuck out his hand to help him come out of the river. Amalei, Elaka, Sagnin Elaka. Kadosh Baruch Hu hates you. The Ksiv, Im Chaimahi, Nivna Le Tiris Kasef. Vendelis, he, Notzala Ruach Eris. If you treat yourself like a wall, strong with stone, and you would have come back to Eretz Yisrael in the time of Ezra when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, you would be like silver that doesn't get spoiled, doesn't get rusty. Now that you came like doors, one door open and not another door closed, you're like wood that becomes moldy. My eris, ask the Gemara what is meant by eris. Ama'ula sasmagar. It's a type of worm that eats up the wood. My sasmagmar, amar avavin, baskol. That all that you had left was just a baskol. Ketanya, as the Brisa says, Mishemesu Neviim Achroinim, for when the Neviim Achroinim passed away, Chag Yizachari Malachi, Nostalka Ruach HaKadosh Mishrol, there's no more Ruach HaKadosh, V'dayin HaMishtamshim B'baskol. They said they only have a baskol. So what is the definition of a baskol? So the Reb Tzadok explains, the Baskol, the Rosh really explains it, is considered a lower level of Nevuah. Nevuah is very explicit talk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Nevi'im. Baskol is a lower level Nevuah. And Reb Tzadik, in his Sefer, David Tzadik explains that even in the time of Chazal, and perhaps even in our time, even though there no longer is Nevuah, there still is a Baskol. And he quotes a Gemara in the Yerushalmi, Masechta Shabbos, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes, that says, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish went to Bavel. And they weren't sure if they should travel from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And they said, let's hear a Baskol. So the Gemara says, they walked by the shul, and they heard a boy saying, Shmuel Meis. So they realized that Shmuel was no longer alive. And because Shmuel was no longer alive, there was no purpose in going to Eretz Yisrael, to Bavel. Because the whole reason they wanted to go to Bavel was just to meet Shmuel. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his way to send messages, even Bizman Hazeh. If we open up our ears, we see that, and our eyes, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us messages, what he expects of us, what he wants us to accomplish.